Hey, to study the Bible. I hope you have yours. And if you do, will you open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. My name is Ingemar, as you've heard. That's Icelandic. My mother was Icelandic. She came to this country in 1945. When you're born in Iceland, you're born into the Lutheran Church. That's automatic. I grew up in the Lutheran Church. I was baptized as a Lutheran. I sang in the junior choir. I was an acolyte, which meant that I would march down the aisle of the church with a lit taper and light the candles each Sunday morning. After the message was over and the service was over, I would extinguish the candles. I rang the bell. I did all the things that religious people did. We heard about God. The only thing was I didn't know God. I was 21 years old when I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. Imagine growing up in church and going to church each Sunday and never hearing the gospel. Imagine being a religious and going through all of these activities and all of these ceremonies and not knowing the Lord. Well, that was my situation. And one day I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God saved my soul, and I'm so glad that He did. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse number 28. I hope there's something in here for you this morning. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, please. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, bless these minutes that we spend in Thy Word. Illuminate our hearts. Show us Your glory. If there's someone here today who knows not Jesus Christ as personal Savior, may they come to know Him as such. May the Holy Spirit superintend over this meeting and have His way. Father, we just commit ourselves to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at the text with me this morning, please. Jesus said, "Come unto me." That's an invitation. "Come unto me," He said. That's an identification. "All ye that labor," that's the qualification, "and I will give you rest," that's a liberation. "Take my yoke," that's an obligation, "and learn of me," that's an education. "For I am meek and lowly in heart," that's a humiliation. "And ye shall find rest unto your souls," that's a great salvation. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," that's a great cooperation. Think with me this morning on this great text of our Lord and Savior. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The gospel message, among being many other things, is a great invitation. I'm so glad that one day that invitation was extended to me, and I accepted. And now, whatever your theology is, or whatever your particular bent is on systematizing the many great doctrines of God, however you look at it, never forget that the gospel, first of all, is a great invitation. Jesus had come. Now in New York Harbor, there's a great Statue of Liberty. And there that statue stands facing out of the harbor towards the great Atlantic Ocean. And into the port of New York City has sailed 1,000 ships. And on those decks have been men and women and children that have come to this country of ours looking for opportunity and freedom and hope. Some of your ancestors perhaps were on the decks of those ships. Emma Lazarus, many years ago, wrote a poem that's placed at the base of that great statue. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the tempest tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden doors. Countless millions have seen with their own eyes that lamp. Now, there are some today that are questioning whether or not that invitation should continue to be extended. There are those who are worried about things like economy and all other kinds of troubles, and they're really questioning whether or not we should pull down that old statue and extinguish its lamp. There are some who suffer from xenophobia. That's a question for another time, and I'm not sure how you feel about it, and I'm not sure you're interested in how I feel about it, but I'll tell you something. God's invitation is still good. God gave this invitation 2,000 years ago, and it's just as good today as it was when he first spoke it. They may dismantle the Statue of Liberty, and they may extinguish its torch, and they may turn its copper metal into the scrapyards of industry. But the invitation of Jesus Christ is just as valid and just as real and just as bona fide today as when he first spoke it 2,000 years ago. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. The gospel, being many things, is first of all a great invitation. And never was there a greater invitation ever extended than this invitation. You might receive an invitation one day on fine stationery embossed in gold. But it's never more beautiful than the invitation that Jesus Christ extends. With outstretched arms, come unto me. When we gather here in our assemblies to worship and to praise God, to celebrate the message of the gospel and God's glorious salvation, let's never forget that God has placed us in a strategic place to go forth into the highways and the byways with this invitation that is still valid and still good. Come, says Jesus. And every church of the gospel and every assembly of believers should be a beacon of light that sends out a simple message that everyone can understand. Come. They might not understand the fine points of our theology because they're lost. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. But they can understand one thing. Loving outstretched hands of God saying, you're welcome. And I'm so glad that that invitation was extended to me. And some 25 years ago, I responded and I came. How about you? Do you remember that day when you received that invitation and accepted it? that's what the gospel is all about. All of the things that we do are important. The whole reason Jesus Christ came was to extend the invitation. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18 says, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Christ also hath once suffered. There's the passion. The just for the unjust. There's the paradox. That he might bring us to God. There's the purpose. There was no other way for me to get to God. All of my religious works, all of my so-called good deeds would never find its way into the gates of paradise that had been shut because of sin. There was no way. I could have lit 1,000, 1,000,000 candles. I could have rung 1,000,000 bells. It wouldn't bring you to God. So 2,000 years ago, God came in the person of his Son to bring me. The gospel is an invitation. I've not gotten over it because I don't deserve it. That God would include me? Yes. The message of God through the pages of the Bible is an invitation to come. Isaiah said it in his 55th chapter, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come. Hey, is not the invitation just as valid and just as real? Isn't the invitation for those that live in the city of Burlington, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come. The gospel is just as real today as the first day you heard it. It's an invitation. Come unto me, said Jesus. There's the identification. Come unto me. We don't want to have people just come to church. That's all right in itself. That's a start. Jesus didn't come all the way from heaven and die on the cross just to get people to come to church. Because people have been going to church for ages and ages and still do not know God. And churches go through the rituals and through the ceremonies and the motions of their religiosity every single Sunday. Jesus didn't come just to get people to come to church. Now that's a start. We want people to come to church. Where the Bible is taught and the Bible is preached. Now Jesus said, come to me. Oh. He's the one. He is the centerpiece of our worship. He's the object of our affection. He's the glory come down from heaven. Come unto me. God's not interested in making somebody a Methodist or a Baptist or a Presbyterian. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Some 25 years ago, I turned my back on the religion of the church and I came to Jesus. For that's where it is. Some years ago, a little girl was playing in her front yard. Front gate was left open and she wandered out onto the sidewalk into a world she'd never seen before. Down the street she went. Looking at all of the sights and all of the wonders. After a while she realized that she was lost. She began to cry. She didn't know where she was. A policeman came over and said, "Little girl, why are you crying? I'm lost and I can't find my way home." "Well, where do you live? What is your address?" She cried, "The more I don't know my address." She cried. Then she thought, "I live across the street from the park. The park where there's a great big stone cross. If you can get me to the cross, I can find my way home from there." My friends, if we can get people to the cross, they can find their way home from there. It's not a religion. It's not ceremonies or rituals. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Peter said it when he preached the sermon, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Come unto me."
Every once in a while a brother gets a hold of me and pulls me aside. And if I offend you, it's not intended. But I'm probably going to offend somebody here this morning. He pulls me aside and said, "Hey, brother, how are you? Where do you stand on the 5 points of Calvin?" Now, I've been to university and I've read a few books and I know what they're talking about. Bless their heart. I spent 21 years following Luther. I'm not about to spend the rest of my life following Calvin. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. If you've got a problem with that, I'm sorry. But I set out following Jesus Christ, and I'm going to follow Him to the end of my days. Jesus said, "Follow me." That's Christianity in a nutshell. And simple, humble fishermen left their boats and their nets, and they went out to follow Him. And all of the systematic theologies of the great minds of the world cannot compare to sitting at the feet of the Son of God. "Well, Ingemar, you just don't have the intellectual depth." Well, I'm sorry. I'll just sit like Mary at the feet of Jesus and listen to words eternal. Jesus said, "Follow me." You don't have to be some great theologian or doctor of theology. Just follow Jesus. Follow me. That's the identification. Come unto me. Come, that's the great invitation. Unto me, that's the great identification. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, that's the qualification. That's the only qualification that God set forth. If someone wants to enter into the kingdom of God and fellowship with God, his only qualification needs to be that he has a broken and a contrite heart. That he has felt the weight of his sins and he says, "I'm weary. I am weary of feeling the weight of this heavy conscience on my heart." With all of the pretensions and all of my religion and all of my ceremonies, I still feel the weight of my sin. You qualify. So that's the only qualifications to come to God, that you know you're a sinner. Nicodemus was a great leader of the Jews. He knew religiosity more than anybody. He was a Pharisee. He did all of the rituals and all of the ceremonies, and he knew the scriptures. Oh, he had to memorize the shorter catechism, and I'll tell you, it's not short. But Nicodemus knew he was missing something. He came to Jesus by night and said, "Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now, he didn't really understand the depth and the breadth and the length and the height of the whole thing, but he was right. Jesus was the teacher come from God. Teach us the way. Never was there a teacher like him. Well, the first lesson that I have to learn and you have to learn was that you were a sinner. Until you learn that, you can't get out of kindergarten that you're a sinner. Did you learn that lesson well? I did. And God needed only to unfold the secrets of my own conscience. And I had to admit the truth, I'm a sinner. You say, well, Ingemar, I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person. Oh, my friend. Isaiah said, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. What's the qualification for eternal life? What's the qualification for entering into the kingdom of God? What's the qualification for being born again? To be tired of sin. To feel the weight of it on your heart. Labor in a heavy laden. And a wonderful thing happens. When you admit that, there's a great liberation. I will give you rest. Every single person that has come to Jesus Christ with their sin has discovered the rest that is in him. I will give you rest. And every person who has come to know the forgiveness of sins has realized the weight has been lifted, and so they sing praise to God and hallelujah. Why? God has given me rest. And I can put my head on my pillow at night and say, it is well with my soul. Has God given you rest? Has he taken your sins and the weight of your sins? That's what he wants to do. He wants to give us rest. What's the qualification? That you know you're a sinner. What's the result? A great liberation. He gives you rest. He swings wide the prison doors and says, you're free to go. And my friend, if the Son will make you free, you're free indeed. Oh. Do you know the liberation that comes from the sins being forgiven? I hope you do. I hope you haven't gotten over it. It's been 25 years since God opened that prison cell door for me, but I'm still excited about it. I can almost hear the key clank in the lock and that squeaky door swing open wide. Why are those Christians so happy? Great liberation. VE Day, when here in the streets of the United States, a man and women sang and danced. That's ridiculous. Not for those that had sons and daughters out fighting a war, it wasn't. There was joy. Well, my friend, when Jesus Christ sets you free, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I haven't gotten over it yet. Have you? Have you felt the weight of God, of your sins being removed by God? You'll never forget it. And it might do us well to remember where God found us. In the miry clay, in that pit. And he lifted us up, and he set our feet upon a solid rock and established our goings. The 4th of July, we set up those firecrackers and set rockets in the sky. So the world doesn't understand all the excitement and the enthusiasm that comes from these places. We're celebrating our great liberation. God has set us free. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Wait a minute, Christianity is more than that. It goes on. It gets deeper. take my yoke upon you. Christianity is a great liberation, but it's also a great obligation. Take my yoke upon you. There are so many who seem to go through their Christian lives without realizing this great obligation that has been placed on them. To be God's servants and to live for God in this evil and wicked generation. If God saved you and bought you, you understand what he's talking about here with his yoke. It's a great obligation to serve him. Everywhere in the Bible, not as a constraint, not with the lash of the taskmaster, but it should be plain and obvious to anyone that was ever rescued. It's an obligation based not on necessarily duty as much as gratitude. Look with me at Romans chapter 7. Sometimes we look at scripture verses and share them with people, and they seem to be very unmoved by it all. And I worry about it. Why? Well, first of all, it's foolish to try to catechize a cold heart. You're talking to someone who is an expert at being catechized. I'm looking at the verses and the explanations and memorizing the questions and then memorizing the answers. Lots of folks go through the motions. Matter of fact, because of 21 years of going through the motions, I can spot one at 50 yards. That's right. And just talk to someone for 5 minutes and it's just quite clear. No light there. I hope there's light in your heart and stirs your soul. And you say, yes, I responded to the invitation. And yes, I've experienced the great liberation. And yes, I accept the obligation. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 5. Verses you know. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. We serve with newness of spirit. Christianity is also an obligation to serve God. To keep his commandments is not grievous. We desire to do it. Lord, what can we do for you? Is there something that I can do? When I was 18 years old, my government sent me to Vietnam. And there I was a combat photographer. I remember sleeping in the rice paddies with mud up to my neck. I remember being on the fire. And I remember saying, if I ever get out of this, if I ever get out of this. The sound of ordnance exploding around you in the blackness of the night. Flaming tracers over your head and the concussion of bombs. It does something to you. If you get out of that, you never forget it. And you always have something called gratitude. If you've been delivered from the wages of sin, you have a gratitude in your heart, and you want to serve the Lord. Nobody has to twist your arm. No one has to beg and cajole you. What the elders have to do is say, brother, you're doing too much. You can't do everything. You got to let somebody else do it. God has done a work in your heart. You're so grateful and you're so thankful that you accept willingly the obligation. Well, Christianity goes on. It's so great. Take my yoke upon you, said Jesus, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And learn of me. Christianity is also a great education. And we matriculate in his university and we sit at his feet and he teaches us. Teaches us about his greatness and his wonder and his splendor. And we open up the Word of God and we learn of him. And in every page there's a lesson. In every text there's a classroom. And we say, Lord, teach us of yourself. Christianity is a great education. What is it? Education. Now, regardless of what you think, Jesus Christ is his own curriculum. He said, learn of what? Learn of me. We've got all these other things. We could have classes in churches and they can tell you about how long the candles should be and when you should light them and when you should extinguish them and they could... That's what they do. Jesus said, learn of me. I open up the Word of God and I want to learn of him. Amen? I open the book of John. In every chapter is a classroom. In chapter 1, he's the eternal Word. In chapter 2, he changes water into wine. In chapter 3, he's a teacher come from God. In chapter 4, he seeks the soul of mine. In chapter 5, he is the doctor. In 6, the living bread. In 7, he's the water. And in 8, I'm out of darkness led. In 9, he opens blinded eyes and all his judgments right. In 10, the good, kind shepherd. In 11, the resurrection light. In 12, I shout Hosanna, for there he is a king. In 13, he teaches me how to serve. And in 14, how to sing. In 15, he's the vine of God. In 16, the world is overcome. In 17, he kneels to pray for me. And in 18, the judgment has begun. 19, he's my Savior, hanging on a tree. In 20, he leaves behind an empty tomb. And in 21, a victory. Every text, a classroom. Jesus says, learn of me. And on Sunday, we just can't wait to get to class. Lord, teach me of thyself. Wait a minute. If you enroll in that school and that's what you really want to do, one of the great lessons that he will teach us is in the very text, and there is a great humiliation. I am meek and lowly of heart. That's not the world's way. The world's way is to stand up and show them your stuff. The world's way is to push to get first. The world's way is for you to be the best. Jesus said, no, in my economy, the first will be last and the last will be first. When you're weakest, then you're strongest. I am meek and lowly of heart. Oh, if we would just learn that. I have to keep taking that class again, I have to admit. I don't think I'll ever get an A. Then he goes on, he finishes it. Verse number 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's a great cooperation. Hey, the exciting thing is you don't have to do it alone. You're not supposed to. There's two places in that yoke, one for you and one for omnipotence. You can't live the Christian life alone. You can't do it by yourself. It's impossible. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13, God's definition of grace. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. By the way, that's grace. God at work in me. That's why you can't be saved without grace, because unless God works in you, you can't be saved. But let me tell you something. When God begins to work and demonstrates his grace, you can do anything God wants you to do. My yoke is easy. What does that mean? That means you can do anything God asks you to do. What has God asked you to do lately? You can do it. Why? Because there's a great cooperation. Are you trying to live the Christian life on your own? Has it become kind of hard and wearisome? It's never wearisome to do God's will because He's right there to do it with you. The Bible says, He that calls you will also do it. If God asks you to build a boat and fill it up with animals two by two, if He asks you to do it, you can do it. If He asks you to open that little orphanage, feed the urchins on the streets of Bristol, though you're not George Mueller, you can do it. Why? Because it's God that works in you. Aren't you excited about God working in you? That's grace. And oh, that God's grace might be in this place. That we would have to put signs all around of construction. God at work. God's grace. Come unto me, said Jesus, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is there someone here this morning who says, Ingomar, I don't want to tell anybody, but I've been kind of going through all the motions for these years and I've never been born again. Don't go another day. Come to the Lord and say, Oh Lord, I'm a sinner. And I need you to be my Savior. The invitation is for you. You're here this morning saying, Ingomar, I've been chafing under this obligation to serve God, and that's just because my heart's not been right. And I see the sins that God has forgiven. I want to do more. Why not be what God wants you to be right here in the city of Burlington? And go out and give this invitation that is still justified, that is still bona fide, that is still valid, and still necessary. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of Jesus that have spanned the centuries. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the salvation that we find in Thee. Help us, Lord, from this place to deliver the invitation that so desperately is needed in these dark days, that You might save souls. In Jesus' name we pray.